About to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley's show, but first let's tell you about our good friends at the finest airport that ever was and ever will be.
The San Bernardino International Airport. Especially when there's summer travel plans, it can get expensive at these airports. That's why you gotta go to this airport where parking is just $5 a day.
Plus, you got those easy trips, San Francisco or Provo, Utah. Maybe you didn't plan anything this summer. See how easy it is.
Don't be one of those people who has to pack your patience. Go to San Bernardino International Airport.
Okay, enough shilling. And now it's time to get into a brand new episode of Klein Alley's show.
This is the world famous K-Rock.
Good morning. Just after 9 o'clock, Klein Alley Show in your ear holes where we belong. Unless you want to watch us, we are streaming live on YouTube right now. But enough about us. Let's go ahead and give you the news you've been waiting for. Think about it. Usually, Alley, if you want to go to Disneyland, you got to win a Super Bowl or something. And that seems like a lot of work. Got to get drafted. Got to get on the right NFL team. Got to play a whole season.
Got to win.
Probably going to get CTE later in life. But in this particular case, you don't do any of that. You just have to be on the phone right now and be the 20th caller, which puts us on someone calling from Southgate. Good morning. Is this Lewis?
Yeah, this is Luis.
You are the 20th caller.
Woohoo! Yeah!
4-pack of tickets for Disneyland, and those are yours. Hold on, all right?
All right.
Yep. Thank you for starting your day with us here on K-Rock. Another chance to win again with Sluggo at noon. And then Kevin, Megan got you covered at 3 and 6 p.m.
That guy sounded like an NFL prospect to me.
I think so. He could be on the back end of his career. We got lots to get to this hour on the show, including the internet's biggest riddles solved once and for all with some clickbait. And Allie and I both had experiences with family members becoming the most annoying people at restaurants. And I think that we live in an era now where everyone has...
Everyone's not ashamed.
Everyone wants to make modifications. And a lot of restaurants now are writing stuff right on the menu. They're saying, modifications declined. We're not changing anything.
No substitutions.
No substitutions, because it's gotten out of control. And I don't blame the restaurants anymore. And the combination of, can I have this gluten-free sauce on the side?
I had gluten-free, soy-free, egg-free.
Right, and then there's certain people that can't...
It's toast?
Everyone's got a thing.
You can't eat toast.
You can't keep track of it all. So we will talk about who's the most annoying person you've ever had to go out to eat with, and what did they ask for? Because I think the requests are now getting so crazy.
I felt so bad for this woman at dinner when we were in Hawaii. She was like, okay, I have 2 no raw fishes. I have 3 gluten allergies. I have 2 soy allergies and an egg and dairy allergy.
Right.
I mean, what do you even eat at that point? She was like, I'm sorry, you guys just can't have bread. I'm just taking this away.
I mean, I got to say, every time my wife has convinced herself now that she's has some sort of a problem with garlic. Do you know how many things have garlic in it?
Oh, you can't go to a restaurant. Everything has garlic.
And so then I got to say to them, hey, I got to go through this whole charade every goddamn time.
Does this recipe contain anything delicious?
Yeah.
Can you please take that out?
Yeah, can you take out anything that would have possibly tasted good? Because that could be a problem, and that could set her off. And then I got to say to them, does this have garlic? And they go, probably. Is she allergic or just sensitive? And then I go, just sensitive.
She's definitely sensitive.
And then she goes, I go, is that an allergy to the garlic happening? Or you want? So then I got to say, allergic-ish? And then they go, well, then you can't eat here because everything's cross-contaminated.
Exactly.
You go, the process is a terrible process from the very beginning.
And then you have to say, no, I'm in the middle. I'm intolerant.
Right. So, listen, I know you'll have stories that can top these. I mean, remember Jake with the whole butter situation in Vegas?
That's different.
It's not different.
I wanted butter. You should be able to get butter. They didn't ask for them to take something away.
Not at an Asian restaurant.
It was right next to the goddamn buffet.
So anyway, we will take your calls on that a little bit later. Clearly, people are heated, and I don't blame you. It's gotten out of control. And Allie, I don't think it's getting any better anytime soon.
No. I've even gone to places that now have separate menus for people who are gluten-free, soy-free, etc.
I like the places that just say, go eat at home. They don't put up with it anymore. We'll get to that in a moment. Of course, that and much more coming up this hour on K-Rock. We are Klein Alley Show. Good morning. The internet designed 2 reasons and 2 reasons only. Clickbait, masturbate. We can only do one of them on the radio. So here we go. It's time for clickbait. Hit it.
Hey.
Start with this one. Research is out and officially has determined that 88 minutes is the ideal time for this to happen. Anything shorter, anything longer, not acceptable. It must be 88 minutes. That is the optimum time for what? 88 minutes.
God, 88 minutes. A sit-down dinner.
A sit-down dinner.
Too long.
88 minutes, you think, is the right amount of time?
I think so.
Well, an hour and a half would be 130. Hold on, I got to do math. Nope, that's wrong.
That would
an hour
90.
And a half would be 90. 90 minutes. Not good at math. I forgot to carry the one. It's the problem.
I feel like an hour is just slightly rushed. If you're doing dessert and the whole thing, 88 minutes.
We're talking an hour and 22 minutes is the ideal length for what? You believe it is a sit-down dinner.
It's all either right? A dinner or a movie.
Well, you said dinner, so you're locked in on that. Jake the Nerd?
I've said an hour and a half for a movie for years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you think it's the ideal length for a movie?
It should be.
Right.
Sometimes that movie's BS.
Some people feel that they're getting more bang for the buck.
Sucks.
Movies ain't cheap anymore. Sometimes
people also don't have the attention span anymore. 2 hours, you got to watch it in pieces.
Okay, so you believe movie length. Omar?
Headlining set at a concert.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah. Headliner should go out for an hour. You don't feel like you got enough. Sometimes headliners do like 45 minutes, and you go like, this feels like an hour. Anything under that seems like you didn't really get your money's worth.
I think a headliner for a show has got to be an hour 45 to two.
No way, dude. Because then they get into the deep cuts, and you're like, I don't even recognize this song. Like, just play the goddamn hits, Foo Fighters.
Okay. All right.
When he keeps saying, we're going to play until effing 2 a.m. You don't got to do that.
One of you's right. According to research, the ideal length for a movie should be 88 minutes long.
Yeah.
No one wants anything over 2 hours.
And they even do kids' movies structured that way on purpose. And then there are now kids' movies that are like an hour and 40 minutes, hour 45. That's way too long for a kid's movie.
Our attention span is getting shorter, and it's very hard now for people to focus even on a movie.
And we're so used to one-hour episodes.
So they're saying that an 88 minutes is the ideal number.
I've been having this argument for years.
Well, you said an hour and a half, so it's slightly less than that. But 88 minutes, so edit whatever movie or just end it exactly at the 88-minute mark. Just go ahead and throw the credits up there.
And for all you people who like making three-hour movies, just make two of them. Just make 2 hour-and-a-half movies. We're totally fine with it.
It's time for your next clickbait on K-Rock, solving the internet's biggest riddles.
Bye.
This is the one thing that is currently missing from your life that could explain why you are feeling unfulfilled. And I'm sure there's many things, but this is the one. This is the one thing that is probably missing from your life right now if you are feeling unfulfilled.
I think not as many people now have a best friend.
Okay.
A person that you can talk to, text, call anytime that you can tell everything to.
All right. Allie says no best friend. Allie's clearly lacking in the friend department. We've learned this from many of the stories she's told. But she says that if you don't have a best friend anymore, which people used to have their go-to, they even proved it by wearing half of the heart on their neck. So you knew.
Yeah. When people start saying my spouse is my best friend or my mom is my best friend, that means you have no best friend.
Oh, God. That is so sad. In Jake's case, it's his sister.
No.
You said that.
Or your dog is your best friend.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
Yeah.
What is the one thing people are lacking that is keeping their life from feeling unfulfilled? They are feeling unfulfilled right now. Jake?
I was going to say the unconditional love of a little dog.
So you're saying a pet.
I feel like everyone has pets.
Omar, what is it?
A lack of ambition. No goals in their lives. And they're just kind of like floating through life. And you need to have some sort of goal set so you could feel fulfilled.
If you look at every day like you just got to get through the day, then there's another one. Just got to get through that one. And there's no
not working towards anything.
Long-term plan. None of you are right. According to this, which means it must be true because it's on the internet, the one thing that people are lacking from their life that makes them feel unfulfilled is novelty.
What?
Trying new things. And trying new things or going into a new situation, similar to kind of what Omar said, I guess, we're very much in routine, a lot of it. It's the same drive every day. It's sometimes the same meal, same types of people.
So a new interest?
The fact that you're not doing anything at all to bring novelty or something uniqueness, because that is a bit of a reset to your entire brain.
Well,
and it could be a person. It could be a location. That's why people say, you know, I'm not a person that values travel. Like, I know they say, oh, people love to travel and stuff. I don't care really about that. But people say you're supposed to do it because it gives you it alters your brain in a way.
Yeah, to see new streets, new people, speaking a different language. But you have little novelties in your life. You take different ways home sometimes. times.
I will take different ways home when I get off at the wrong exit. When I forget, I've got three different ways to go, and I try them. And then every once in a while, I do that thing where I pretend I'm being chased by someone just to make it fun for me. Little things, but I still know. I know I'm not really being chased by someone.
You get a new nose every couple of years.
Every couple of years, I dig in there. It's novelty, right?
Change your neck.
That's right. Schnozzelty. That's how I keep life fun and fresh. All right, and finally.
Bye.
We'll go with this one. You can talk about where's the luckiest city on the planet where you should be buying your lottery tickets because you're more likely to win. Or, if you'd rather, we will talk about the one personality trait that people share that live the longest.
Oh.
Which one would you want? Only have time for one.
Let's do personality trait.
All right. This is the personality trait. People that live the longest have this one personality trait in common. What is it? This time we'll start with Jake.
I say you laugh a lot, or you have a good sense of humor.
Mm-hmm. People that laugh a lot or have a good sense of humor.
Mel Brooks is 100 years old.
People that are theoretically funny. Right?
That's me.
That's you're theoretically fun.
Theoretically.
Allie, what is the personality trait that people share that live the longest?
I think people who are stubborn. They're set in their ways. They've got their routine. They never want... People like Jake, you know, that are just very one-track mind. They only have one thing to focus on, and they never stray from it, and that routine helps them live longer.
Omar Khan, what is it that you must have in your personality if you want to live longer?
I think you have to be a people person. You like to surround yourself around people, and even if you're retired, you don't have a job, but you will go seek out and see friends, family, and you're always gathering.
Oh, that's true. We're screwed.
That's exhausting. Similar to the answer to the last question, they are saying that people that have an openness, curiosity, intellectual engagement, and a willingness to try new things are the ones that actually do live longer.
I'm dead.
So
this is the opposite.
It is the exact opposite. I mean, really, in many ways, of Jake as a person, but also the guess of just being set in your ways. Your guess, Allie, of being stubborn, it's kind of the opposite of that. It's those are the people that will die off young and people that still feel like there's more
like,
to explore.
Hey, I'm 80. Time to try anal.
So two answers. Pull that clip of Allie.
No. Can you say that again?
No.
What were you saying, Allie?
No.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment. And we'll talk about, and we'll take your calls and texts on this, the most annoying person you've ever gone out to eat with. What is the? What are some of the many requests they made when you sat down? Because we almost probably have you beat, but we will take your calls on that next on K-Rock. And going out to eat with, like, my friends, when people just order food and they say, this is what I want, and you can bring it as it is, and we'll eat it, and that's the end of the story. And that's great, because when I go out to dinner with a bunch of guy friends of mine, that's usually what ends up happening. But when I replace those guy friends of mine with my wife and my children and her parents that were in town recently for her birthday, all of a sudden we become what I believe to be the most annoying table in the history of restaurants. And I feel terrible because I have to sit there as a guy that has no problem with anything. I'm fine. Bring whatever. I'll eat it.
You were the only one who ate normally?
I don't care. I don't have any, I don't make any requests or preferences other than the time I know you guys said I asked if the guy could do more tendies. That was the only time I said anything. Could you make this a six tendy situation or a four tendy?
Who says that?
I was trying to get more chicken tenders because I wanted Vanessa to have her own tendy.
Yeah, and she did want her own.
Oh, you just get two tendies, two orders.
Dude, whatever. It's not. That's not a modification.
I had
to sit with a group of people, and I know Allie can relate. And we got a bunch of people on the phone and text line that claim that they have more annoying people they've gone out to eat with. Where I had to basically go into a sushi restaurant and tell them to please let me know if anything had garlic, onion, gluten, soy, spicy, fishy tasting, or was cooked with seed oil.
Fishy tasting.
Yes.
What kind of a request is that if you're going to a sushi restaurant?
One of the dishes that was brought to the table, and I s you not, I wrote this down so I'd remember exactly what they said. It was some sort of a tuna dish. And when they brought it to the table, they said, here is the tuna, whatever the name of the thing was, with no rice, no jalapeno, no wasabi, sauce on the side. And so all it was just piece. They had this.
Fish on a plate.
It was just fish on a plate with a little bowl of sauce. But when I saw the thing that was originally ordered, it was
so
a whole
good,
put together thing with a lot of stuff. And that's what they have to do now. And I know restaurants are annoyed as hell because they go, And I've talked about this before, but what a time to be alive and have all sorts of needs, because our great, you know, the cavemen, they weren't going around going, I have bison sensitivity. They would just eat whatever they killed.
Yeah, I know.
And either it would kill them or they would survive.
But now people, I think, also have more access to information now, and you can get all these specialized blood tests, and you can get all this stuff to say, oh, what foods am I, you know, inflame me or irritate me or am I sensitive to? And then people start eliminating things, and then you feel like you can go around in a safe space and have everything be eliminated for you. And that's not how it works at a restaurant.
And I know annoying people that know you're... I know there are certain annoying people that know they're annoying.
Oh, so, I was doing that whole diet where it's like... I was doing no garlic, no onion, no all this stuff. I'm not telling the server that.
Right. You just...
I'd rather die.
Just look at the menu and go, I will take a side of rice.
Right, that's fine.
I will eliminate it for myself. I'm not expecting them to do my job.
Haley on K-Rock, 800-520-1067. An opportunity for you to tell us who is the most annoying person you've ever gone out to eat with and what was the request that was made from them. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. Good morning. So I'd say the most annoying person to go out to eat with is my grandmother. She's diabetic and also has celiac disease. But on top of that, she's major OCD. So the thing that she does is when she gets to a restaurant, she'll request the staff to clean the table not once, but three times exactly. And then she'll pull out her own hand sanitizer and wipe every single piece of not only silverware, but the chair and everything in hand sanitizer wet wipes.
So she'll have them clean the table three times before she sits down or three different times during the meal?
No, before she even sits down. And the best part is since she's diabetic and celiac, she only orders a baked potato, but she'll request it burnt.
Oh, what a horrible meal.
That's going to be a tough one to beat right there.
Burnt potato?
And if you hand sanitize all the silverware, doesn't it taste terrible?
This burnt potato.
Tastes like hand sanitizer.
What's wrong with this burnt potato? It doesn't taste like I expect.
It's like alcohol. Oh, 949 said my grandmother would ask what the waiter recommended and then always order something completely opposite.
Oh, man, that move.
That person sucks,
that's something
too.
My mom does. It's so humiliating.
And I know
what do you like here? Whatever they say, she goes, nope.
I don't want that.
That's so insulting.
Then why are you even asking?
Why bring this person into this ruse?
Yeah, and I know that there are people that are annoying about where to sit, too. Even beyond the food is the location of the table, the draft of the table. Is it too cold? Is it too hot? Is it near the bathroom? That always bothers me. You have to get up a party of people and move it to a different table.
818 says, I will always, without fail, have them have to drag over a heater because my wife is always freezing. And that sound of them dragging a heater.
Sure, it's no problem.
Oftentimes, heater getting stolen from other tables. Then look at me the whole meal, angry. Meanwhile, I'm sweating. And my wife says she's still kind of cold. I mean, I know. That is one of the...
But they want to sit outside.
Why
do you want to sit outside?
Put on two jackets next time. We don't need this heater to be dragged through the patio. And I know there's a million reasons that people can be super annoying. A lot of it now, the last few... I mean, I've been to restaurants recently where it's written on there, no substitutions, no modifications. Sorry if this doesn't work for you.
Or if I don't want something on a salad or a burger or whatever, I'll just take it off.
It's how it used to be.
Yeah, I'll just take off the thing that I don't want.
But I think that we've gotten, as a society, a lot more less willing to accommodate with things. With all things in life. We want things the way we want them, and we want it now.
Well, I think chefs, too, are saying, hey, you know what? This is the way the dish is designed. So if you're going to start modifying it and creating your own dish, it's going to suck.
Right. Just add stuff.
Well, they don't like that either, though, Jake. Like, what would you add?
More ricotta on my pizza.
Right.
And then when I get tacos, I get it with extra pineapple. Not asada. Damn it, I can't think of the meat.
Al pastor? Yeah, I mean, I guess adding things, what's the problem with that? It's just usually expensive. But,
right, if they bang you out. But it's like you just got back from this trip, and you were also trying to accommodate a bunch of weird...
First off, we had two pregnant people. Both the same amount of pregnant, too. Man. So you had no raw fish. It was also, if there was fish, is it a high mercury fish? If they're steak, it needs to be a well-done steak or a medium steak. It can't be a rare steak. So you have to ask more about the temperature and how it's cooked and all that crap. The cheese, is it unpasteurized? Like, there's all that crap that comes with it.
Yeah.
So that's annoying in and of itself. But we also had 3 gluten allergies. Then we had a no soy and a no egg and dairy person. We also had a fitness, like a fitness instructor who was I just want plain boiled chicken and green beans type of person.
Man.
Then you also had 2 children. So it was my kid who's like, okay, what does the pizza look like? Does it thin? Is it thick? Because it's really going to depend on whether or not he's going to eat it or not.
Those poor waiters and waitresses. What they have to put up with these days is very different than it was even 5 years ago.
I mean, the easiest person at the table was the baby. There was a 1-year-old baby who would eat anything.
Alexander on K-Rock. Good morning.
Good day. Sweet Dibs.
Sweet Dibs. What's up?
So I have this friend. Well, I had this friend, not friends anymore. Whenever I order before him and go sit down, he would come and refuse to sit where I was sitting. He would always want to move to a different table all the time. And he would actually go and sit at the different table, and we would sometimes eat at different tables just because we wouldn't want to sit at the spot.
Well, then you're not even eating together.
They'd probably take that personally at this point. Maybe that's
ridiculous.
A you problem.
Yeah, I was like, always did that.
I have my wife's sister. I don't think we've ever gone to a restaurant where she hasn't requested a different table for whatever the reason. It wouldn't matter if they put us at the one she wanted originally. She would just say, this one's too drafty, this one's too in the sunlight, this one's wobbly. I've never once ever had an issue about any table I've ever sat
me
down at.
That is my biggest pet peeve. If they're sitting me here, that's their choice. Oh. They've assigned me this seat. It's a seat assignment. I'm taking my seat assignment. I don't think of it as a suggestion. That's where I'm supposed to sit.
Lupe on K-Rock. We're talking about the most annoying person you could possibly go out with and what requests they're making these days, because apparently we have no shame anymore. What's up?
Yes, my godmother. Every time we go out to eat, if she orders something and she orders it based off the picture, if it doesn't look exactly like the picture, she'll send it back until it looks exactly like the picture.
Oh, man.
Eventually, they get all the managers out.
Whoa.
And she gets it for free.
Oh, no. Man.
Is that her end goal? Is that her goal eventually? She's just like trying to wear them down until
they pick them to death.
Finally, they go, look, we're not going to make it look like this picture.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
three, that sucks. 323 said, one of my friends cannot eat anything white. What kind of a restriction is that?
Is that
a race?
Is that a racist? Is that a racist thing? Or is that, what's the reason for that? Like, they can't do any white flour?
Yeah, anything that's white colored, like white fish, white rice, bread.
It's even worse, and I feel bad for the waiters. It sucks for them. But if you are trying to go out with anyone and you are trying to, quote, do like an order for the table situation, and you're like, hey, what appetizer is good? And I'm always like, whatever. I'm fine with, there's ones that are way better than others. Let's not waste an appetizer on veggies. Let's get something real, like wings. But eventually, you have enough people that are like, can't do, you start eliminating.
Or you eat an appetizer and you're the only one eating it.
Yeah, because no
one's sharing it because no one can.
Danny, we wrap it up with you, but we could do this all day because apparently we have become terribly annoying as a society. What's up?
Yeah, hey, so it's always my sister-in-law. So at this point, I just avoid eating with her. If I know she's going, I'm not going. And it's everything that you can think of in the book. But the main one that really annoys me is that she asks too many questions. So she'll ask, like, oh, well, what's in this item? And the description in the menu is literally there. So the poor waiter is like, oh, it's mayonnaise, lettuce, tomato, cheese. And I'm like, oh, my, we're just sitting there just staring at her. And she'll ask about 4 different entrees. Like, what's in this? What's in that? And I'm like, did you even look at the menu?
It's bad when the waiter is just
reading the menu. Right,
yes,
right.
And I can tell they want to leave so bad.
Aww.
And I just feel so bad.
God.
And I've been a waitress, and I hate when people do that.
Yeah.
I have a buddy that I stopped going out to eat with for a similar reason, but he would just do a thing where every time the waiter would come, he would hit him with one thing at a time. So they'd show up and he'd be like, oh, can I get a straw? And then they'd be like, sure, I'll be right back. They come back with a straw. I'd be like, oh, can I get some more napkin? And
oh,
I was
my
like,
God, that was the worst.
And I said, why don't you make a little list of 5 things?
And next I can time do the trip, not 5 times.
Yeah, yeah, and just give the guy all the things.
Yeah.
I wasn't thinking about it, but then I thought of it and I was like, it felt, it was like 6 times in a row.
1% more mental energy for you to just think of the things you need in one.
Well, apparently, we are not allowed in public anymore, and I wish we could get to all these calls, because apparently people are as annoying as Allie and her entire family. Imagine if our families united for a meal, and it was the kids, the fitness instructors.
I think we'd be kicked out.
The gluten-free. There's not a restaurant on the planet we could go to. Not one.
I think my stepdad was the only person who was like, I'll have the ribeye.
Yeah. And that's it. And that's why people make fun of me. I just like to sit in my car and eat pizza. Yeah. This is the only place I got some sort of safety.
It's
K-Rock with Klein Alley Show. K-Rock with your Klein Alley Show. If you want to win things like Disneyland tickets, you've come to the right place at the wrong time. We'll have them for you tomorrow morning around 9 a.m. And then you'll win them again today on K-Rock at noon, 3 and 6. Also have tickets for you to go see Evanescence this Saturday at the Kia Forum. And as always, if you win the games, you win tickets. If you lose the games, you're forced to go to Moana in theaters, which people apparently don't want to do. Allie, this guy's mad at us, and I understand why.
So, Klein and Allie, what's the deal, man? You guys get when everybody in the entire world gets one day off, you guys get a week off? What do you guys think you are? Unbelievable, man. You know how bored I was? And that's on you guys, all right? Last time you left me bored, I had to do a rap because I was so freaking bored. And guess what? I wrote another one on the way to work. So here you go, Klein.
Amateur rappers. Nothing worse than amateur rappers who claims he was bored when we took last week off.
B of Thursday, breakfast tracks. Gotta give the last line the straight axe. Black don't crack, and we all know that's a fact.
All right, I'm not going to listen anymore to this. We will never take time off again to just...
and that's a fact.
Keep this man from rapping.
If we don't, I'm going to make a rap.
Oh,
God.
Stop. Everyone stop making raps.
Everyone just please stop. We'll take a quick break. We're back with the ADD News, a brand new hour of the show, and that all is happening next on K-Rock. K-Rock, we are Klein Alley Show. It's Tuesday morning. Let's find out what's going on in the world together. Then we get into a brand new hour of the show, perhaps the greatest hour of your life. Lots of bribery to keep you locked into K-Rock this morning, and this going on right now.
Grab your Adderall. It's time for ADD News.
Well, the World Cup is winding down. We've only got a few games left, but that doesn't mean that FIFA can't stop making money off of you. Now that the tickets have all been sold, they want to sell you parts of the field, and here's how much you can buy them for.
What would you pay for a piece of the field where the World Cup final is going to be played?
$0. Total of $0. Maybe I would go up to 25 cents, maybe, if it was a good part of the field.
Only 25 cents for used grass?
That is, and I understand... You know, it's, quote, historic, and they have figured out ways to really bamboozle the hell out of you. But it's probably cheaper to buy part of the field than it was to get a seat there.
What do you consider the best part of the field, by the way?
Best part, I think, would have to be in the goal. Like, it would have to be in a goal where a significant goal took place. Like, the grass in the goal where Messi got a goal. Right, you'd have to get some of that. Or a piece of the net, or they're cutting the net up and giving that away.
See, I would think that the net would be more valuable. That the goal happened, the net, you know, you have a part of where the ball potentially was for that game-winning moment rather than just a piece of the sweaty, disgusting... Like, that's where everyone's feet were and everyone's sweat drip.
Well, that's what you want. That's where you want the good... So remember that bit of sand that the guy grabbed when Brady made his stupid retirement video on the beach and the guy went and picked up the sand and sold that online? I think you got $50,000 for that stupid sand.
Wouldn't the grasses die?
Well, not if you're Omar and you're a gardening homo. Keep that thing alive forever.
Hey, I'm no gardening homo.
Yeah, you are, right, Allie? Say it.
You're the biggest one of them all, and I'm jealous.
What's that plant you like?
It's a hibiscus.
Yeah, no one's buying that.
...of the pitch from the official FIFA store. The field fragment, here it is encased in acrylic. It will, of course, ship after the final is played on July 19th.
So maybe that's why it doesn't die, is because it's encased in acrylic, like some kind of, like it's fossilized or something.
It is already sold out. So it's $450. You can't buy them.
$450?
I think it sounds
no,
a little...
Thank you. Okay, I mean, those ladies aren't going to buy it.
No, but I guess...
But listen, it is less than a ticket.
If your team wins the World Cup, okay, so you're down to one of the four countries who have teams still playing, and then I could see why that would be a real flex.
Or if you are a crazy Lionel Messi fan.
Right. And you think that the value is going to... If it's, you know, final game for one of those, who the hell knows? Who's going to... Vanessa, who's going to be in the finals? I know there's a game today, but who, in your opinion...
Spain and France today.
No, but who's going to be in the actual finals?
I think it's going to be... I'm hoping it's going to be England versus Spain, but I think it's going to be England versus Argentina. That can't happen.
So what I've learned is that Vanessa knows the less. You know, Vanessa said yesterday, I'm telling you right now, there's no one that's cared. No one cares more about the World Cup than Vanessa. And yesterday she was explaining to Johnny.
She's like, guys,
there's 60 minutes in the game. I go, Vanessa, it's 90 minutes. It's 90. I don't know anything and I know that. She goes, okay, you just explain it then. And I go, I don't think she knows anything about the World Cup. And she's the most excited.
No, she does know, but she's also, like she said, her brain is scrambled.
Yeah.
You know what?
I can't even defend myself because I do get little details wrong all the time.
And big ones.
Great producer.
I think you booked the wrong comedian for Thursday.
Maybe.
You see that in the email?
I didn't see that.
No, you guys told me to book it.
That's a different name than the guy that we wanted, but that's okay.
No.
It's going to be a...
we'll figure it out.
Dios mío.
Oh, no.
It's going to be a rough week for dogs and old people. We're in another excessive heat warning for most of this week. I wasn't sure if I was reading temperatures or freeways at first. It was 110, 101, 90. These are all temperatures in the valley this week. It's supposed to be muggy as hell as well, which is making it wetter and stickier than normal. It's that monsoonal moisture, Klein, that they love talking about.
Hot.
And it will be at its worst tomorrow. Here's what the experts say you should do if you want to do all these. Limit your strenuous outdoor activities. Seek air-conditioned spaces. Drink plenty of water. Check on your elderly neighbors. Always check the back seat for your children. Outdoor workers need to take frequent breaks, and you need to provide shade and water for animals. I was at the park for 10 minutes with my kid yesterday, and he asked to go home, which is saying a lot.
It's too hot.
He was did a slide a couple of times, did some swings, and he was like, can we go home? I was like, yeah. What are we doing here?
Vanessa, would you be opposed to us leaving you in a car seat in the back of a car tomorrow just to prove that there are good Samaritans out there as kind of like one of those things when they used to put the crash car in front of schools before prom to let everyone know, hey, don't drink and drive. Like we put you in a car seat and we do it as like a reminder.
No, that's ridiculous.
It's not, though, because
so
I think...
So uncomfortable.
No, because I think that we'll... I think we'll save some lives, to be completely honest. I think people will be like, oh, I'm glad you guys put this display out there. Now I got to check the backseat for my kid. Because you're right. When it gets like this temperature, this is where there's always some idiot that leaves their kid in the backseat and the kid dies. It's terrible. It's the worst way to go.
And didn't they change the law so that you can break into somebody's car now?
Oh, yeah.
You can smash a window.
Smashy, smashy.
But now people leave notes on the car saying, it's in dog mode.
Right.
The dog's okay. Please
air.
Don't break my window.
Right, but I think people like breaking anyway because there's nothing more fun than breaking someone else's car window.
It would
suck if you left that note up there and you didn't do dog mode.
Right. That would be terrible.
It's hard to share good news about the Earth. Nature doesn't seem to be doing that well whenever we check in on it. But here's some good news for the animal kingdom. Apex predators are making a comeback. Many of them have been endangered or on the verge of extinction but are now finally stabilizing. Animals like the California condor or the bald eagle or the gray wolf. The California condors, they were down to like 23 left. Those things are ugly as hell, but they are important. Now they're back up to like 600. Yep. Then
kill that thing.
You can thank Jackie and Shadow for reviving interest in the bald eagle community. The bald eagle cam has thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are watching it on a regular basis every year, and that has brought the population up into the thousands. And the gray wolves, they thought were nearly wiped out. There were only a few of them left. Now they have had more gray wolf sightings, and they think that the population's up to like 5,500 or 6,000 now, which is going to be tough for livestock, because they do love livestock.
Is it all in California?
Yeah,
they're all making their way west again. A lot of these animals were moving out of here. They couldn't afford the rent, whatever. Now they're all back. And the other thing that sucks is that, you know, there's all these people that like to conserve. You know, let's conserve these animals. They're endangered. We need to do stuff to repopulate them. A lot of these animals they want to repopulate, they're probably better off without them. Like I know people think it's a big deal when a species goes extinct, but like a condor, what's that ever done for us, right?
I mean, I think it has some kind of a purpose.
It's an apex predator.
Yeah, we need predators.
Those are the things that
we don't have predators, then we're overwhelmed with rats. Why do you think there's so many rats everywhere?
No, we could use the rats.
No, condors and eagles love rats, right?
Eagles are majestic. Condors are like their methed-out cousins.
Those things are
freakish looking.
If you've ever seen them, they look like...
They got like
hairless
cats. Face of like a possum, kind of.
Oh, yeah.
There's this whole...
Not cute.
Noah's Ark that should be created of all these like wonky, off-looking animals. Just ship them off to Australia or something. Let them live
there.
Put
all the ugly animals there.
Get into a brand new hour of the show next on K-Rock. Good morning.